listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now, we're taking another look at the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. In just a bit, we'll speak with a Wisconsin doctor who experienced the storm firsthand with his family.
Puerto Rico is still recovering following the devastation left in the wake of Hurricane Maria. When the storm hit the U.S. territory at the end of September, it left the island completely without power and communication was largely cut off. Recovery efforts have been slow, especially compared with those in Florida and Texas.
Alan Gomez joins us now. He's a Miami-based reporter at USA Today. He's been covering the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Alan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
How much of Puerto Rico is still without power today?
As of right now, there are still 82% of people on the island without power, and about 45% without access to clean water.
Now, we use a figure like 82% without power, but can you tell us what that actually means as far as the day-to-day of people's lives and their well-being?
Well, I mean, it's one of these things where any of us, and unfortunately we're seeing so many of these catastrophes going on around the country, but it's if you lose power for a few days, you know, you lose all the food in your fridge and that sort of thing, but as 1 week turns into two, turns into three, you know, all of a sudden your day-to-day changes completely. So, you know, these folks, they've unfortunately gotten used to just kind of sleeping outside, finding makeshift places to just get through the night, and it really affects their ability to work, it affects their ability to to study if they're in school, it affects their ability to drive their cars because it's so hard even to get to some of these gas stations that are opening up, and especially on the water side of it. I mean, there's still people who spend their day in line waiting to get water at some of these creeks that people are getting water from, waiting in line to get water at some distribution centers that have been opening up little by little on the island. So it's sort of surviving and just getting through the day becomes a full day's enterprise. It's just incredibly difficult.
And I've been seeing reports about people drinking water that may not be safe, that they've collected without purification. What are the health risks there?
I mean, they're already getting all sorts of reports about bacteria infections that people are getting from the water. I mean, it's when you don't have the option and you see a creek, you're going to get water from it, and you're going to get as much of it as you can, and you don't have the ability and you don't have the technology available to you in that moment to test it to see, you know, how good it is, and then you don't have electricity, so in many cases it's hard to boil the water. A lot of people are starting we're starting to get more and more reports of this, but even getting the reports is difficult because a lot of the hospitals, a lot of them have power now, but it's hard. It's still very difficult to communicate with them. About 40% of the island still doesn't have cell service. So communication makes it hard, which makes it hard to identify how many people are getting sick, which then makes it harder to figure out where the response is needed and where we need to get more of these assets to.
Now, President Trump has said a few times since Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico that FEMA wouldn't be able to stay in the territory forever. It's hard to say whether he has some sort of timeline in mind, but what sort of message does that send?
I can tell you, if you're in Puerto Rico right now, it sends a very demoralizing one. When the president was there, you know, he met with a few folks who were supportive of what he was talking about, but I can tell you that my colleagues who have been on the island and friends and other reporters I know who've been down there, they tell a very different story. If you were in San Juan and you're in a very protected area of the country, which is pretty much what President Trump saw on his short trip there, you know, things aren't that bad. Water's getting back. You're getting some power back. But throughout the south end of the island, the west end of the island, these parts that are more rural and harder to get to, they are just absolutely beside themselves and pleading with the U.S. to get in there. We saw a very different, you know, message that he delivered when he went to Texas after Hurricane Harvey, a very different message when he went to Florida after Hurricane Irma tore through there. In both those cases, he was tweeting about the people in those states nonstop. He visited both of those states within 4 days of their hurricanes making landfall. He didn't get to Puerto Rico until 13 days after, and when he got there, he talked about what Puerto Ricans were doing to the federal budget. He said that they didn't experience a, quote, real catastrophe as like New Orleans did after Hurricane Katrina. And then he's just been following up with that, with saying, hey, we can't be in there forever. Meanwhile, there's about 50 FEMA disaster recovery centers open in Texas right now. There's another 18 open in Florida as people continue recovering from those storms. Yet with Puerto Rico, he talks about pulling out of there because they can't stay there forever.
Talking to Alan Gomez right now from USA Today. He's giving us an update on the latest from the recovery effort in Puerto Rico. And we've been talking about President Trump's ongoing commentary about the hurricane in Puerto Rico, his narrative that it has been a good response from the United States, that the job there has been robust. How is it being received, the job the U.S. has done in Puerto Rico? Are people on board with what the president has said, or what are you hearing?
I mean, the response has been robust. There has been a lot of assets that have gone down there. The FEMA administrator has gone down several times. The acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security has gone down there. You know, FEMA can, you know, cite off the number of water pallets and food pallets that they've sent down there. But there's been a very big disconnect in all of that stuff getting to the people. We've heard President Trump talk about, well, the roads are messed up and they got to figure out their roads, and otherwise they're not going to be able to distribute everything. But I can tell you, I've talked to many Puerto Ricans who ask, well, don't we have a lot of helicopters in the United States? Can't they, you know, ferry some of this stuff down to the southern parts of the islands of the island to get it to some of these harder hit areas? Another sort of very visible example is there's this Navy ship called the USS Comfort that is this massive, massive medical ship that goes from disaster to disaster around the world to assist. This ship has 250 beds to treat people. At last check yesterday, according to CNN, there's only 33 patients on board because they haven't been able to figure out how to get people from the hospitals onto the ship. So it's the kind of situation where there's a lot of stuff going down there and a lot of equipment going down there, but they just haven't been able to get it out to a lot of these communities where people are still sitting there saying, yeah, every once in a while we'll see a water drop, but then we don't see anybody for a week or two. So there's been a very big breakdown in terms of coordinating this and figuring out how to get all these supplies to the people that need it the most.
And Alan, as we start to wrap up, when you look at what's left to do on the ground, what is at the top of the list?
Well, the top of the list is power and electricity and getting that up and running. It's again, it's I can't drive that number home enough. 82% of people still without power on the entire island this many weeks after the storm. That once you get that settled, then all of a sudden people are in air conditioning, so they're in a little bit safer situation, and their health care isn't that much of a risk. They can travel a little bit more freely, and that's the main thing. But going back to the president, all he's talked about is that, hey, the electricity infrastructure was damaged before the hurricane, so, you know, they got to figure something out. We haven't really seen a big push to fix that. We've even heard from Tesla, who's offered to go down there and try to help restructure the power grid, but that's a years-long process. That's not a couple of weeks process. So that's I think, the main thing that people are looking for now.
Alan, thanks a lot for talking today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Alan Gomez, a Miami-based reporter at USA Today, and he joined us to give us an update on the latest in the recovery efforts after Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
Coming up, we'll talk to a La Crosse-based doctor who was visiting his family in Puerto Rico when Hurricane Maria hit. We'll get his firsthand account in just a moment. That's coming up on Central Time.